Jacqueline Kiger is with Pisgah Legal Services. John Wingerder is Director of Health Insurance Information Services with the Council on Aging in Buncombe County. Jacqueline Kiger, you have a master's in social work. You are an attorney, and now you are an Affordable Care Act navigator. Why did you choose to become a navigator?
Well, David, it was a natural combination of the things that I'm interested in terms of social justice and helping people access healthcare. And particularly with Pisgah Legal Services, we have been helping low-income individuals in Western North Carolina for over the last 35 years. And we know what an important thing it is for people to have access to affordable and adequate health insurance coverage.
John Wingerder, why did you become a navigator?
Well, the Council on Aging, David, provides Medicare counseling to people who are 65 years of age or older. And we often had people who would come seeking our assistance who were under 65, not eligible for Medicare, wanting our assistance to help them find affordable health insurance. They couldn't afford the premiums, or perhaps they had pre-existing conditions. So when the Affordable Care Act and this opportunity presented itself, it seemed just like a natural for us to work both with the over 65 Medicare population as well as the under 65 population. Even though we're the Council on Aging, we will work with anybody between 19 and 64 years of age if they ask for our assistance.
As we approach the December deadline, are you seeing a surge in applications?
We are. We have we've had quite a few people call in and schedule appointments, either call in or walk in. And so we're doing our best to try to accommodate them.
Jacqueline Kiger, could you explain the deadlines that are approaching?
The December 23rd deadline is the deadline that's approaching quickly. So in order for someone to have health insurance coverage effective on January the 1st, 2014, they need to enroll in a plan and pay a premium if they have to pay a premium to the health insurance carrier by December the 23rd. That deadline was extended. It was December the 15th, and it has been extended to December the 23rd. Open enrollment is happening right now and actually runs through March the 31st of 2014. So there is plenty of time for those who do not need to enroll by December 23rd to have coverage on January the 1st. They do have open enrollment through March the 31st of 2014.
John Wingerder, compare how the online system is working today to its launch in October.
That's a great question, David. When the online system started at the beginning of October, there were quite a few problems with it. The system would freeze. It wouldn't take all the information. There were any number of situations where a person would not be able to complete the enrollment. However, since the Obama administration has announced a sort of a crash program to resolve those problems, as of December the 1st, we have seen a complete turnaround in that system. People are now able to log on and fairly quickly move through the various screens, entering their information, receiving the information about their premium tax credit, looking at the various plans that are available for them, and actually going on to complete much of the enrollment.
Are some people better served, though, simply by talking to someone in person or using a call center?
Well, David, I think it depends on the person, but certainly meeting with a navigator or another enrollment assister is important to helping consumers understand what options are available to them, sorting through all of the information that's out there. And then we as navigators can help people through this process from beginning to end, whether it's creating an account, going online and submitting the application, or if they've already submitted it, understanding their notice of eligibility determination and looking and comparing the plans that are available to them. And just so listeners know, navigators are neutral, unbiased assisters who are here to help them understand their options. Our services are free. There's no fee for our services. And we can meet with consumers as many times as they need throughout this process.
The deadline is Monday the 23rd. Are you seeing a surge of applications right now?
We at Pisgah Legal Services are seeing a surge of applications. We are getting a lot of calls. We are booking a lot of appointments. And we are holding an enrollment clinic on Thursday night, December the 19th from 4 to 7 p.m. in order to help people who are trying to reach that deadline get one-on-one assistance.
What should people have on hand readily available before they go online to try to get insurance?
Well, some of the information that they should have that will be very useful during the enrollment process. If they had a tax return from the prior year, that would be very helpful, because what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to project what their income is going to be for 20 and 14. So if they have that type of documentation, it's going to help them to be able to make that projection more accurately. Secondly, they're going to need to know social security numbers of family members, how many people are in their household, things like that, who's being claimed on the tax return. All of those pieces of data will be very, very helpful and facilitate the enrollment process.
If a listener is eligible for minimum essential coverage through Medicaid, should they apply for health insurance?
No, they should not. There are certain types of health insurance coverage through either Medicare, Medicaid, certain VA benefits. If it meets that minimum essential coverage, then they have coverage. They meet the requirements for the individual mandate. And they are set.
So if you are a Medicare recipient, do you need to do anything?
You don't need to do anything at this time. Medicare is considered minimal essential coverage under the ACA.
As a Medicare recipient, are you eligible for any additional benefits because of the Affordable Care Act?
Well, in addition to the health insurance marketplace that the Affordable Care Act creates, there are also elements of health reform that go along with the ACA. And certain pieces of that reform affect Medicare beneficiaries, like the fact that preventative services that are considered essential health benefits are now covered 100%. And also with the prescription drug coverage known as Medicare Part D, the ACA actually is phasing out what's known as the donut hole, that gap in coverage where beneficiaries have to pay 100% of the cost of prescription drugs when they're in that donut hole. That will be phased out by 2020.
You mentioned prescription drug coverage. I'm on Medicare. Will I be paying more for my prescription drugs?
No, you will not be paying more for your prescription drugs. The ACA is not causing an increase in the premiums there. And like Jackie said, it's actually going to help people who have high utilization in their prescriptions, because it will be closing the coverage gap or the donut hole.
If a listener is covered through an insurance plan from their former employer, should they stay on that plan, or are they eligible for insurance through the Affordable Care Act?
Well, they're going to have to look at that. I think, are you talking about a retiree?
Right. If you're a retiree and your pension plan includes health insurance through your former employer, would the act affect you in any way?
Well, if you have coverage through a former employer, more likely you're going to have probably a lower premium as a retiree of that plan. So you would certainly have to be very careful before you would cancel that plan, because for most retirees, if they do cancel or drop out of a retirement plan, they can't get back in. And so we always tell people not to cancel a retirement plan before talking with either a navigator or a Medicare counselor.
How many different levels of coverage are there?
There are four metal level plans, starting with bronze, which has an actuarial value of 60%, which the plan covers on average, with 40% being expenses that are out-of-pocket expenses for the consumer. And then as you go up, silver is a 70-30. Gold is an 80-20, and platinum is a 90-10 under those same requirements.
What sorts of plan would people under 30 apply for?
Well, for those who are under 30 years of age, they're going to need to really think about their situation and what best meets their needs. For every consumer, it's going to be different. A bronze plan typically is going to have the lower premium, you know, the monthly cost to simply be enrolled in the plan. So for those who are relatively healthy, don't have a lot of medical needs, that might be the way to go. And then again, for someone who knows that they are going to be utilizing their plans more frequently, they may be looking more towards the gold or platinum plans.
If I choose not to get insurance, what sorts of penalties am I facing?
Well, if you decide that you're not going to choose to enroll in any type of health insurance, you would be in violation of the individual mandate, which begins in 2014, which requires all citizens and legal or resident aliens to have health insurance coverage. In 2014, the fee that you would have to pay for that would be $95 per adult or 1% of household income. I think a lot of people focus on the $95, but they forget about that 1% of household income, which could be significant. So if you had a household income of $40,000 or $50,000, there could be a $400 or $500 penalty per adult that they would have to pay.
If I have insurance through my employer, do I have to continue with my employer-provided insurance, or could I choose to apply for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act plan?
Well, David, that's a bit of a complicated question, but let me give you some information on that. If you have coverage through your employer, and it meets the minimum essential coverage, then you would meet the requirement for the individual mandate. The basic criteria to utilize the marketplace, to shop for insurance in the marketplace, is to be a resident of North Carolina, to be a U.S. citizen or a lawfully permanent resident, and to not currently be incarcerated. That will get you into the marketplace to shop for plans. Now, whether or not a person with employer-sponsored coverage is going to be eligible for the subsidies that are available through the marketplace is going to require a complicated determination and looking at what is offered to them and what is offered to their dependents, and whether it meets the requirements under the ACA of being adequate and affordable coverage. So for listeners who are following, who have questions about that, we would strongly recommend that they meet with a navigator to sort through that information.
Is that where the 9.5% figure comes into play? If your coverage costs more than 9.5% of your family income, you could choose to drop your employer-provided plan?
You could, but here's where the test is. It has to be adequate, which it has, meaning it has a 60% minimum value, and it has to be affordable. And that test is whether or not coverage for the employee only is less than 9.5% of the household income. And so when you look at whether or not the coverage is offered to dependents and the cost that is, that doesn't get factored into the test. It's only looking at what the cost is to the employee only. So there's an employee coverage tool that's out there on the marketplace that employees can ask their employers to fill out in planning for looking at the marketplace and what they might be eligible for.
We often have people who come in, and the employee contribution is less than 9.5% of the of their income or household income, oftentimes when they add the family, they have to pay $500 or $600 or more to add the family, and they're very disappointed when they learn that even though they have to pay that additional amount, they will not be eligible for a subsidy.
John Wingerder, is the ACA good for those who are self-employed?
Yes, the ACA can be a very positive a program for those who are self-employed and looking for health insurance. There's also a program for small employers who are looking to help their employees by sponsoring a health plan for their employees. This year, while the it's called the SHOP program for employers with 50 or fewer full-time employees, and if there are small employers out there who are interested in learning more about that, they could call Pisgah Legal or the Council on Aging, and we could explain it in more detail to them.
Going back to the basic criteria to be able to just shop for insurance in the marketplace, there's no income criteria to pay full price for the insurance coverage that is available through the marketplace, or sticker price, as we sometimes call it. Now, if you're looking for the financial assistance that's also a component of the North Carolina marketplace, then there are income ranges that are linked to eligibility.
What happens if you receive a subsidy, but your income changes, will you have to pay the system back?
Perhaps. One of the things that is important for consumers to know is that if you apply for one of the subsidies, and the main one is the advanced premium tax credit, the marketplace, you need to report to the marketplace any changes in your financial situation throughout the year. So even after open enrollment, if your income changes or if it increases, then you should report that to the marketplace so that they can adjust your eligibility. When you reconcile your taxes at the end of the year, so for 2014 by April of 2015, that's sort of the final reconciliation. And at that point, there's the possibility for some that there might you might have to repay part of the advanced premium tax credit.
There's also another feature of the Affordable Care Act called cost sharing, where if your income is between 100 and 250% of the poverty level, and let me just give you some figures like that. For a family of four, 100% of the poverty level would be $23,550. Going all the way up to $58,875, you could be eligible for cost sharing. You would not only get the advanced premium tax credit, but there could be a reduction if you select a silver plan, and we'll talk about that hopefully a little bit more. But if you select a silver plan, some of those out-of-pocket expenses, such as the deductible or coinsurance, may be further reduced to help you pay for your medical expenses.
Well, why don't you talk right now about the silver plan and what you're getting at with that particular example?
Well, to qualify for an advanced premium tax credit, you have to be between 100 and 400% of the poverty level. For example, for a single person, it would begin at $11,490 if you earn between $11,490 and going all the way up to $45,960, you may be eligible for an advanced premium tax credit. The way that works, David, is that once you enter your income and you're determined, your eligibility is determined, the computer program will give you a dollar amount, so to speak, that you can use when you go shopping. By shopping, I mean that you're going to select one of the various health plans, the bronze, silver, the gold, or the platinum. And if you have an advanced premium tax credit, we'll say of $500, and you pick a plan that costs $600, then the federal government is going to send $500 directly to the health insurance company, and then you will make arrangements with that health insurance company to pay the balance. In this case, in that example, it would be $100. We have seen people come into our office, they are paying $500 or $600 a month for catastrophic coverage, $5,000 deductibles, very, very minimal coverage, and they are walking out with an advanced premium tax credit of $400 or $500. They're getting excellent coverage, much better coverage, and it's costing them anywhere from $50 to $75 to maybe $100 a month is what their share will be.
So the advanced premium tax credit is that monthly tax credit that can be used in advance to help pay the cost of the premium. The next subsidy that's available is for those who fall between that range of 100 to 250% of the federal poverty level, and that attaches to the silver level plan. So as long as the consumer purchases the silver level, they can purchase any plan level they want with that tax credit. But if they fall within this narrower income range for the cost sharing reduction, as long as they purchase a silver level plan, they would be eligible for what is known as sort of an enhanced silver level benefit. So rather than the typical 70-30 plan that we talked about earlier, they actually would get coverage that could be 73%, 27%, up to, I think, an 87-13 plan, all the way up to a 94-6 plan, perhaps, for those on the lowest range of that scale. So what it does is it really gives them a benefit for the out-of-pocket expenses, a lower deductible, lower cost sharing, and lower copay.
Are there people, because of their income, that are falling through the cracks, the truly needy, who are not eligible?
Well, you've heard John and I talking about the income ranges for the subsidies being at 100 to 400%. So yeah, what the question I think you're getting at is, what what happens to those who fall below 100% of the federal poverty level? And unfortunately, right now, for those folks who fall, who have lower incomes than 100% of the federal poverty level, the advanced premium tax credit and the cost sharing reduction, the financial assistance, is not available to them through the marketplace. And that is really going back to the way that the ACA was originally written, with the idea that Medicaid would expand in every state and include those who fall from 0 to 138% of the federal poverty level. But the Supreme Court, in their decision back in 2012, decided that Medicaid expansion was optional for the states. And currently in North Carolina, our state has not elected to expand Medicaid. So unfortunately, we are looking at folks who fall underneath that income level of not being eligible. Now, they can still apply through the marketplace and perhaps be eligible for an exemption. Or for some folks in that income range, they still will be eligible for Medicaid under the current rules in North Carolina, or children might be eligible for the CHIP program, which in North Carolina is the North Carolina Health Choice Program.
John Wingerder, have you helped people successfully navigate the system who make you feel proud of the work you are doing?
Oh, absolutely, David. Absolutely. We've had people come in who are almost just beside themselves because they are facing a very large premium increase on January the 1st. Perhaps their premiums are going up to $500 or $600 or $700. And after we navigate the website there and they get their advanced premium tax credit, they are walking out enrolled in a plan where the cost to them may be, yesterday we had somebody who walked out, their cost was $1.47 per month because they qualified, obviously, because of their income. But many people will be able to enroll in a plan and have pay a premium, perhaps around $100 more or less.
We also have seen some success at Pisgah Legal Services, again, with seeing people with really low monthly premiums, but also a lot of folks who are coming to us who are so anxious, who have pre-existing chronic conditions and are so anxious about, am I going to be able to get insured? I've not been able to get insured in the past. I've not been able to afford it. And now, beginning in 2014, insurance carriers are not going to be able to deny coverage based on that pre-existing condition. So that's just it's another positive part of doing this work.
David, what I'd like to also mention are there are a lot of young people out there who perhaps feel that they don't need health insurance, and we certainly would want to encourage them to come and talk with us. We've had a number of young people in their upper 20s, lower 30s, who have been able to enroll and be able to purchase a health insurance plan for as little as $10, $15, $20 a month. In one case, I had a very young a gentleman came in, and he was paying $70-some dollars a month. And because he enrolled in a much better plan and got a subsidy, his premium is zero.
John Wingerder is Director of Health Insurance Information Services for the Council on Aging of Buncombe County. Jacqueline Kiger is with Pisgah Legal Services. Both are Affordable Care Act navigators. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.